Here's Lou Williams of the Los Angeles Clippers telling a Kobe story.
I told him once, you know, we had a conversation, and I said, yo, I'm on to you. And he said, what you mean? I said, you want people to think you're a jerk, but you're one of the nicest guys in the world. Like, that's how you want to be remembered when you're done playing. Like, you want everybody to think you was this hard-ass competitor and just a jerk to everybody. And I said, but that's not your nature. That's not your natural nature. I said, you're forcing your mean on everybody else. And, you know, and that's how you, that's everything that you hear about him. You know, everybody was talking about just hearing different stories from everybody, how fierce of a competitor he was, how he was a no-nonsense guy when it came to competing and winning games and different things like that. And you also hear the stories about all of his philanthropy work that he did and the charitable things that he did for Make-A-Wish kids and different things of that nature, you know. And so he was such a complex person and just had so many layers to him, you know. So we miss him, you know, but I took away a lot of things from him.
How did he react when you told him that? Did he smile or cop to it or what?
He said bullshit.
That's Lou Williams telling a story about Kobe Bryant right there. All right, more of your guys' phone calls. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. In a little bit, Jim Hill will come in studio and join me for the broadcast. He was across the street. The LA Kings have their game tonight, and they did a tribute for Kobe Bryant, so he'll get a chance to talk a little bit about that. And then both him and I were at the practice facility a little bit earlier today. Let's go with David in Fontana. David, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, David. You're on, buddy. Go ahead,
hey,
David.
Hey, Alan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Alan. Thank you for taking my call, bro.
You got it, man.
Just want to share a little bit about what Kobe meant to me. I'm 28 years old, and, you know, I feel like when he passed on Sunday, a part of my childhood went ahead and passed with him, you know. Grew up watching him, big fan of his, and he went ahead and inspired me to play basketball, too. Started playing basketball at the age of about 10, 11 years old, and played high school basketball, went ahead and went on to play varsity, and even after high school for a little bit. And just want to share a little bit of memories of his. I remember one time I missed a game-winning free throw, and that went ahead and haunted me, man. So I went back home, and must have been about 10:30 at night. And I literally shot free throws for about a couple hours, man. And I was just thinking to myself, I bet if Kobe missed a free throw, he'll probably be out here shooting free throws as well, you know. And just, you know, I was inspired by him, the way Kobe thought and the way he played. You know, I'm sorry if I sound a little bit shaky, but
no, you're good, man.
He was an inspiration, man. You know, and it just goes more beyond basketball. The way, you know, and like I said, I feel like I grew up with him. You know, I went on, I got married, had a couple kids, I have a daughter, and just really, really hits. It just really hits home when just to think about the fact how he left his daughters behind, and I couldn't imagine how I would leave my wife behind as well, you know, if anything were to happen to me. So just want to share a little bit what Kobe meant to me.
Thank you, David. Thank you, brother. Yeah, it's tough for everyone, man. Listen, I'm not married. I don't have kids, and I can't, you know, I can't share the way somebody who is a parent, but, you know, I could only imagine. So I actually try not to imagine. Just it's such a tough, tough subject. I think I try to find myself talking more now about some great memories and the legacy that he's going to leave than anything else. Head coach of Duke, Coach Krzyzewski, talking about Kobe.
Well, it's a tragic, shocking day yesterday for all those families. And for us, we, you know, Kobe was part of our family, the USA basketball family, and he helped create the culture that we were able to do in that 11-year period. And he was very close to my family. You know, we shared two loves, love of the game, and we both had daughters. You know, he was amazing with my grandkids in Beijing and also in London, and they idolized him.
Jose in L.A., you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Jose.
What's going on, Alan?
We're just kind of going through the motions, my man. Just kind of figuring it out as we go.
I know, man. These past days been hard for me, my group of friends. But I want to share a story. I mean, I was in seventh grade when Kobe got drafted. And I told my friends, I mean, we used to trade NBA cards, MLB cards back in, you know, junior high. So I was like, this kid is crazy. Like, what happens if he gets hurt? You know, why doesn't he go to college to get an education, right?
Uh-huh.
But he proved me wrong, and he proved to himself that he became one of the greatest legends. The love that I have for Kobe is incredible because my birthday is August 24th. He's the reason why I love the game even more. The way he competed, the way, you know, buzzer beaters, everything that he did, I shared it with my son and I shared it with my daughter. I haven't talked to my daughter in a while. We text here and there, but the day that he died, she texted me and she said, Dad, I know he's your favorite player, and I'm sorry for your loss. And that meant a lot for me. You know, again, she know that she knows that I love Kobe, love the Lakers. We just have to come together and stay Lakers strong.
Jose, thank you, man. Appreciate you telling that story. And I'm glad your daughter reached out to you. You know, I feel like there's been a lot of people that, you know, I've said this a couple times because it seems to be the theme. Shaq said it. Shaq had mentioned it when he shared, you know, some different stories talking about Kobe, that if you got somebody in your life and maybe you're bickering about something or maybe you're upset about something, man, it's just not worth it. Just pick up that phone and be the bigger person and just say to yourself that it doesn't matter what it is. You just never know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen in the future. Just put it all away and use what these last couple of days where I think a lot of people have just been such heavy hearts for everything that happened and for everybody. It's just one of those things where I think, you know, when I hear stories like that, somebody say, my daughter reached out to me, she hadn't reached out in a while, or I reached out to a friend. I love to hear that. You know, this ain't about basketball. This is just us being real people and telling real stories. Jim Hill, the great Jim Hill, coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Go till 9 o'clock tonight. The great Jim Hill hopping in studio. Jim, how are you, and thank you for coming in here.
It's been, thanks for having me, but it's been bad, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's been, Sunday was the worst day of my broadcast career. The absolute worst. Not supposed to happen like that. And sometimes I think we still feel like we're having a bad dream. You know how it is, you have a bad dream and you wake up?
Sure.
Well, we're not going to, we are awake. It is,
it's reality.
It's not a dream, it's reality. So there's a lot of question marks that are around it and things of that nature. But I some of the people that I see and we talk to, and we kind of start hugging each other and tell each other how much we feel for each other and things like that. And we start agreeing, you know, it's okay to cry.
Of course it is.
It's okay. I mean, these are tears of joy, tears of sorrow, tears of happiness, tears of disbelief. But we're better off having known him and having been in his presence and vice versa. So it's I'm reminded of people want to know why he was so beloved, because he gave it everything he had whenever he was on the floor, no matter what the circumstances. And he has this love. He had to see. I still have trouble saying is and isn't.
Sure.
And he is and past, so, and was. But I'm reminded of a song by Lionel Richie, a good friend of mine. And it is, the song is called Love Will Find a Way. And he had this passion, he had this love for basketball, this love for this community, this love and this passion for his family. He was a fabulous family man. And if we have that love, it's you're going to have your bumpy roads and stuff like that, but love will find a way. And so that's why we just have to believe and like I say, keep the faith, because this is bad. This is a really, really bad one, and it's going to last for a while for a lot of us. Yeah.
And Jim, I said it. We talked about it when I saw you at the practice facility. You know, earlier today, I said that. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, how you were saying, you're talking about kind of a bad dream, and you wake up and you figure out, is this happening? Is it not happening? And I catch myself in that. You know, the last couple of days, taking callers. I'm like, what are we talking about? How are we talking about Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
Not here anymore. You know, like it is. It's one of those things where, you're kind of in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're just in this. Okay, well, I'm supposed to be doing this. You know, you're doing your job, whatever the case is. There's other moments you're like, am I seeing those LED boards out there? You know, just none of it makes sense. You know,
no,
I guess it's not supposed
to. No, death never makes sense. It is one of the most predictable yet unpredictable things that happens. You know it's going to, you just don't know when. But when it happens to someone that was so young, so vibrant, so strong, so full of life, so full of energy, so full of hope, full of praise, I'm reminded of another saying, and that is, the good, they die young. And I mean, he had just started his second career when he stood on the floor a couple of years ago and retired and said, "Mamba out." I mean, he had no regrets. He knew that was it, and he made the transition from not only athlete but superstar athlete,
icon.
Yes, to another career, just like that. A lot of other people have difficulty making that transition. Yeah, but he didn't. So we'll get through it. You know, love will find a way. Time heals all wounds, although we may not think that it's going to heal it at that particular time. But we got to keep the faith, man. But I tell you what, one thing he has done in his passing. He's made this city closer than it's ever been before. People are walking around saying, you know, hi, I love you. Parents are talking, I got to go call my kids. Husbands are saying, I got to go call my wife.
Yep.
Vice versa. So you gotta look at it from the positive instead of the negative, because if you dwell on the negative, it will eat you up. And besides, he would probably say, "Oh, come on, guys, let's move on. Let's go do something. Let's go shoot some hoops. Yeah, let's go play some horse." That's how he's a remarkable individual.
Jim, you were just across the street. Kings, LA Kings have a game. They did a memorial. Tell us a little bit the way they tributed Kobe Bryant.
It was Anje Kopitar, Kings captain, who called Luke Robitaille and said, "We need to do something. We need to show our affection, our love, our respect for Kobe." And so normally when you go to hockey games, and we've seen each other at many of them, when the players come in and at hockey games, they're dressed in suit and ties. All of it. Always has been like that with the Kings. Today, they're wearing jerseys, some wearing 8, some wearing Kobe's other jersey. It was really cool to see on their headgear, the helmets, not helmets, but their headgear, they have the two numbers on their heads. So it was a very well done, professional, elegant way of saluting him. But then, of course, you know, they wanted to make sure that the Lakers were happy with it, and I'm sure they did. So, it was really nice. It was really nice. Was there some emotions? Yeah. Was there some people sniffing around?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like me now. Some tears? Yes. So, but that's all. I would be very disappointed if there weren't.
What do you think, Jim? Have you thought ahead to? I was telling Mason and Ireland this a little bit earlier. I was saying that, you know, you haven't really thought ahead at all. Me personally,
mm-hmm.
When Sunday happened, I could only think about Sunday. When Monday, you know, you just thought about Monday. Have you thought ahead of what you think Friday is going to be like when the Lakers play their first game at Staples Center since this tragedy?
It will be one of the most incredible experiences we have ever had or we will ever have because of the dynamic of this man and what he has done for this city and what he's still doing in his passing. How long will the ceremony be? I don't know. But just the emotion. I remember when Shaq, the first time Shaq came back to play, when he was with the Heat.
Christmas.
And we walked in, and there was this gloom that was in Staples Center. It was really a crazy feeling. We were kind of itching and stuff like that. What in the world is this? But with this, I don't know exactly what the Lakers are going to do. I have a couple of ideas. But it's going to be very emotional.
Of course.
And I can hear the crowds now.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear in unison, mm-hmm. Kobe, Kobe, Kobe.
The whole time, by the way.
Different portions
of the game. It doesn't matter.
During timeouts.
100%.
Sure, during timeouts. Halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the tweet that LeBron sent out that, tell you what, we're blessed to have him in our city because he's taking this on his shoulders.
He's a leader.
Yeah. You know, and he's saying, I'm going to lead even more so now. So we may be in for, on the court, we may be in for some supernatural performances in the future, but we don't want to put a lot of pressure on, because he's got a lot of pressure as it is.
Of course.
But I tell you what, if he put it in writing and he says it, he's going after it. And Kobe from up above will be smiling and saying, yeah, go get him, Bron. Go get him.
You got time to stay for another segment?
Sure.
All right, let's do this. I want to get your thoughts on the impact Kobe has had. We've seen these. You just talked about the tributes that the Kings did. Mm-hmm. But how about all these other NBA players? Just the impact that it seems like Kobe has, not just on players, but definitely the players, but all these fans too. I mean, some of the stories that I've been listening to. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN with Jim Hill. You know, Jim, I said this a couple times. We're going through the show and we're talking about, I think of just the biggest people in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
biggest names in L.A. And you think about, okay, this is Hollywood, right? You got all these big actors and big actresses, and they put out a movie, maybe two movies a year. It's 2 hours, two and mm-hmm. a half hours long, right? Kobe was the biggest show 82 nights a year.
Oh, yeah.
2 hours, two and a half hours. He was making 82 movies a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then come postseason, those were the real movies.
Yeah.
You know, those were the ones you were standing at the seat of your couch. And I thought it was so special to hear so many of these different stories from Laker fans. Just mentioning, I had a caller call in right before you walked in and said that his daughter doesn't have the best relationship. When Kobe passed away, she texted him and said, "I know how much he meant to you." And he feels like that could be the bridge for them, right? And you hear a lot of these conversations. It's just amazing to me the impact Kobe has had on not just players, not just coaches, not just on you, not just me, mm-hmm. but everybody. And I think that's something where you mentioned this is the closest you feel like LA's been together. That's way beyond basketball, Jim.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's in a galaxy of stars, his shines the brightest. And once again, the big reason is because when he stepped on that floor, he gave it everything he had, everything. I was telling you about, he ruptured his Achilles tendon. He thinks Gary Vee can come out there and roll it up and he can go back on and keep playing. That's his mentality. So we've been very blessed to have seen what we have. The big basketball coach in the sky decided, he needs his guard up there, and he's got him. But this is a tough day. This is a tough week. It's going to be tough. When you were talking about a little while ago, what do I expect to see
Friday?
You know, Friday, man, there's going to be some tears. Yeah, I know I'll probably be crying, but it's okay. It's okay. I mean, let's just go on and because if you love something or if you love someone, don't be afraid to show your affection with tears. So it's a human thing to do because sometimes guys, well, they're macho. Yeah, I'm not going to let them see me crying. Well, you know, that's cow dung. Okay, go ahead, let it go, man. That's one of the purest things you can do is to have that relief, that release of pure joy, and the pure joy can come in the form of tears.
Jim, what was your relationship like with Kobe?
It was cool. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. You remember a TV show called Arliss? This is when he first got here. He did the TV show called Arliss, and I went out and did an interview with him, and he was speaking Italian, and he was going. And I said, "Okay. I see where this is going right now." And we started laughing and joking, and like I said, he's the most singularly focused athlete I've ever met, and I could just see him grow and mature. We all have our rough spots, sure, but he met Vanessa.
Yeah.
And, well, she poked him right in the heart. She had him.
She got him.
Oh, yes, indeed. And they have a wonderful family. One time after the birth of his last daughter, I was teasing him. I said, "Hey, man, you... you got a house full of women."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Ain't it great?" So, and then, he would take his daughters to basketball games and basketball camps and take them. That's just pure love, man. That's pure. He's infatuated with his family. He did everything with them, for them, because of them. And if you go over to LA Live, where they have the tribute and stuff like that, you go over there and see how many families are over there. There's a lot of families that go over there because he appealed to everyone, the families, single people. And young kids are over there hugging. They have one place over there where some people can shoot some hoops.
Yeah,
you see that?
Yeah.
And when people are dribbling, Kobe, shoot, swish, yay, Kobe. Okay. Now you show me someone else that has effect like that effect on our young people, on our community. No,
can't find them.
No, you can't even make that up.
You know, you mentioned something. This is something that I thought was so special. I love seeing Kobe. You know, with Gianna, his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They came to that Lakers game against the Dallas Mavericks. Remember when Luka turned around? So they come out to that game. And you saw Kobe wearing a WNBA sweater.
Yeah.
Jim, that's big. You know, like, this is an icon. Yeah. Icon. Wearing a WNBA sweater with this daughter. You don't think that means something to how many different girls out there, what that meant? I had a caller to start off the show. She said that she was too young to have watched Kobe, but that she was so motivated by the Mamba Academy, and that these girls were playing basketball, and she's tearing up. How they? What's that? Say that again, Jesse. Get it ready. I want you to hear what she said, and I'll play in a second. But the impact that this girl felt, it was more than just like you said. It hit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than just that 28-year-old that plays basketball at the gym. That's a small portion of what Kobe hit. And typically an athlete will only hit that. That to me is what, you know, I guess you could say is so special about Kobe. He hit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's unique.
And our young people were able to see that. And you can't fool our young people. They can tell. Now, they may not say anything, but they know. And it's almost like when there is a company that makes a food and the food is sweet or whatever it is, and they want to take it to some people that so they can test it, who do they take it to? Young people.
Sure.
Because if a young kid says, oh, I don't like that, man, they're not going to, because that's who's going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, and also his next career where he was writing and stuff like that, I did an interview with him talking about it, and I asked him, I said, do you ever go over some of your books with your girls? Oh, yeah. What happens? They'll read it. Well, they say, oh, Dad, come on. please, Dad. You know, that lets him know he's not on the right track. So
brutally honest.
That's brutally honest, yeah. Just like their father. Brutally honest. And what a, you know, we need to just say a little prayer for Vanessa and the family, mm-hmm. and the girls. They've got some tough days ahead, but with all this love that's in this, not only in this area, do you know he's more popular overseas than he is in Los Angeles?
I believe it.
Okay.
And think about how much this affected L.A.
Yes.
And then think about the global effect, too.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Jim, I want you to listen. This was a caller a little bit earlier. Jesse's going to play right now.
Yeah, Madison from Sylmar called earlier, and this is what she had to say.
Hi. I was born in the middle of Kobe Bryant's career, so I didn't really get to grow up watching him play or remember any of his huge games.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do remember is how he really cared for girls' sports.
Hmm.
I'm a girl basketball player, and I play at Chaminade High School, and I can feel his inspiration towards every girl who plays sports. He always cared for us, and he made it his mission to make it known that girls can play sports. We just had a game yesterday, and we paid tribute to both Kobe and his daughter. A 26-second moment of silence, 24 for Kobe and 2 for Gianna, or Juju. I remember going to the Mamba facility to play tournaments there, and I bring my Kobe Bryant book just in case if he was there so he could sign it for me. He inspired me in so many ways to be a basketball player that I am now. And it's really all to him that I'm who I am. And to lose such an inspiration so soon, just like that, it really tore me apart. And I go every night. I don't think I've gone one night since the tragedy without crying and thinking about both of them, because it was just really hard for me to know that someone like Kobe and his daughter and everyone on that helicopter were gone too soon. And they had so much more to give to us.
From the mouths of babes.
Think about that, Jim. I mean, that's why, you know, I say, like, this isn't about basketball. You know, this isn't about, it's so much bigger.
Yeah, it's about life, man.
Life.
It's about getting along. It's about how you treat other people. Be kind to other people. Do a good turn daily. He was a gift that we have, I'd like to say. He's a gift that showed us all sides, mistake side,
yep.
And when you're going really good side without making mistakes, you know what I mean? And we all make mistakes, all of us. But it's how you respond and how you rebound from those mistakes is that's the character of an adult, of a mature man or woman. And he did that. I mean, he was so confident when he retired and went on to win an Oscar, okay, and all the other things that he was getting ready to do. Yeah. And that, you know, that's something that comes along. It doesn't come along very often, but when it does, you got to grab it, you got to hold it, you have to experience it, you have to learn from it. Another one of my favorite sayings is by, and I mentioned this a couple of days ago, it's by Muhammad Ali, and it goes, the man who has no imagination stands still, for he cannot fly. Kobe had this ginormous imagination, and he spread his wings of imagination so he could experience all these things.
And he soared.
Ooh, big time. Big time. So,
you know, Jim, you something that you referenced there too. It's when we listen to, I think when we just kind of listen to the message. What's the message right now? I think the message of trying to go through this together. You know, yeah. Trying to cope together. Trying to share stories that make sense, that help us get to the next day,
mm-hmm.
and get to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about Kobe's career, the journey of his career. Of course, his life wasn't perfect, but that's what I think also made it real.
Yep.
You know, we also didn't see this iconic figure that was no flaws, no mistakes. No, we watched on the court, off the court, personal, just basketball. There's something to that, too. I think it's relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim, I had somebody, I was telling Laker fans yesterday, I said, Share with me your favorite Laker memory, your favorite Laker moment. I'm sorry, your favorite Kobe moment, right? So one caller calls in. Think of all the amazing moments Kobe Bryant has as a Los Angeles Laker. Guess which one was his favorite moment? When he airballed four times against the Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know why that was my favorite moment, Alan? It was such a important step to watch Kobe go through failure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he did? He got right back up. That's symbolic of Kobe. That was Kobe. We saw him fail plenty of times.
And along those same lines, in that Utah series, I forget which game it was, game two or three. They were playing bad. They were just awful. Oh, it was. It went in locker room. Went into the locker room at halftime. Kobe. Caitlin used a couple of expletives. Hey, listen, if you guys are too scared
to shoot the ball,
yeah, if you're too scared to shoot, if you're too scared to go out there and play, get the HELL out of my way. I'll go out and win it myself.
That's Kobe Bryant.
I'm telling you, that's the Mamba right there.
That's Kobe Bryant.
Get out of my way. I'll win it myself.
You know, look, I also, that's one of the beauties. When we go back to the basketball court, when we see him on the basketball court, when we used to watch him, you know, there's nothing like it. Like you said, there, he gave it all every single night. When I do the pregame show with Michael Thompson, and I go through an injury report, and I'm starting to talk about some of the players with injuries, and he looks at me and goes, "You think Kobe would have missed that game?" You know, that's something he's been doing all season long. But there was something about when he was on that basketball court. Whether you liked him or you hated him, you respected him.
Yep.
And we talked a little bit about it earlier, Mesa and Ireland. One of the things that, you know, some of my favorite moments of Kobe is when he'd walk through those starting lineups, right? The starting lineups on an opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to Kobe. Everybody's booing.
Yeah.
Kobe would walk slow. John would explain it this way. Kobe would walk slow down the starting lineup. He's like, yeah, give it to me. Give it to me. That's a sign of respect.
They had no idea what they were doing.
they were
pouring kerosene on the fire. They were getting the Mamba up to tear everything up inside. But he would say, come on, I want to put my foot on your throat. Mm-hmm. That was his mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, we can all learn from that. What we can then learn from that is, you know, don't give up. just keep going. Get up early, go to bed late, work like hell in between.
Jim, I'll make this the final question. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming into the studio and doing this.
This is where John is in here sometimes?
They're actually sitting in Ireland Sea, right?
Really?
There. How about that?
No, no wonder I feel so kind of cocky and arrogant over here. This is where Ireland
sits. Does it come off right there?
Yeah, some things don't come off, but seriously, John is a good friend.
Yeah.
He's a fabulous, fabulous play-by-play announcer.
Oh, yeah.
And now more people are going to really appreciate his skills because of LeBron being here and the publicity that he brings and the notoriety that the Lakers now have. John's great. I mean, there's just no question about that. He is great, and I love listening to him and listening to you guys. You're entertaining. You make us think, which is something we don't do and sometimes we don't like to do. We don't like to think, but they make us think. Ireland and Mason. I said Ireland first, right?
He's going to like that. Yeah, Mace is going to hate it.
Yeah,
Mace
well,
is going to hate
well,
Mace,
it. Well, Mace, I don't care about him. So.
Jim, I'll leave it with this. How do you think people should remember Kobe Bryant?
Great family man. If there was one word, he cares. He cared about his craft, cared about his family. Cared about his community. When you care, when you really, really, really care, you go to all ends, all depths to do things that are correct. There's little potholes along the way. We all know that. But the object is to get to that and do what's right. He's a role model. He's a role model for his family, his girls. And you just got through hearing the other young lady talk. He's a role model to her. Probably never met her, but he's a role model. Just his appearance, what he does, you know, what he stood for, how he talked, the smile that he had. You can make a great impression without even knowing it. And that's what he did. And in his absence, that's what he continues to do.
Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you all coming on. I know there's a lot of listeners out
there. Tell John I said hello. Tell Mason. Tell him he's lucky to be holding John's coattails. So nah, they're a good team. They're great.
When I see them both together, I'll just look at John and I'll just say, John, Jim said hi. And I will say nothing to Mason. I'll just say nothing.
Oh, you know how to get to him, don't you? No, you know what? They are fabulous.
They're amazing.
You know, and like you, they make us. I drive around town all the time, and when I'm listening, they make me think.
They're legends in sports talk
radio.
Oh
man, yes, you know, we're lucky. We're lucky to have them, and the memory that they have. Sometimes I think they're cheating. Sometimes I think they're looking at these computers and they're acting like it's their memory, but they're smart.
I love it.
Really smart.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
And emotional.
Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right. Big thank you to Jim Hill. Man, he's fantastic. You know, I've got to know Jim just by going to some of these games, these practices, and, the conversations we have, you can't get this in-depth, right? But I think the man is amazing. I got a quick Jim Hill story. So if you guys remember at the Lakers practice facility, they do these talks. They bring in these legends, these greats to come and talk to the team. And Dave Chappelle, if you guys remember, maybe a couple months ago, Dave Chappelle comes down to the Lakers practice facility. And Chappelle is there. And by the time I got there, Chappelle was just leaving, and Jim Hill is walking up. He had just parked, so Jim Hill's kind of walking towards me. We both make eye contact, me and Jim, so I'm wait, say hello to Jim. And there's an SUV right between where Jim Hill is walking, and Dave Chappelle's in that SUV. So what you would think would be Jim Hill saying, oh, Dave Chappelle, oh, great. It's Dave Chappelle kind of starstruck, stops and goes, Jim Hill? I mean, it was just amazing to see, you know, this this as popular as it gets in the entertainment industry with Dave Chappelle, just stopping in his tracks to say hello to Jim Hill. I love getting, you know, Jim Hill's perspective on Kobe and what Friday is going to be like, and just having these conversations. Jim is one of the most respected journalists, broadcasters, anchors, whatever you want to call them. One of the biggest in the country, and of course one of the biggest in LA. So for him to take some time, walk across the street, that's very greatly appreciated. All right, 877-710-ESPN. I do want to take more of your guys' phone calls, and definitely would love to hear you guys continue to share some stories about Kobe Bryant and his legacy here in LA. I did just see on the Lakers Twitter page, so they posted a photo of Kobe and Gianna, that game that I keep referencing to, where Kobe is wearing the WNBA sweater. And the Twitter page now has Kobe in the background and the Lakers, the logo, kind of blacked out a little bit. So it's going to take time, Laker fans, as especially the way he's mentioned it a couple different times now, and I'm referring to Jim Hill, that, you know, this is just it's going to be something that takes time. I got no other way to put it. Jer in Westminster, appreciate you waiting for almost an hour. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah.
You got it.
I'm from Orange County originally. I used to DJ at a club in Newport Beach about 17 years ago. And one night when the club was closing down, this was like at 1:40, 1:45 in the morning, Kobe, Vanessa, and like a handful of his friends came in. Bouncers just let him in because, you know, he's Kobe.
He's Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know. So I'm packing up my records, and Kobe comes up to me, and he's just like, hey, you know, would you mind staying back and playing some music for my friends and I? I'm just like, yeah, of course, you know. So I'm just like, I'm playing music, they're dancing, drinking, and we were there till at least 5 in the morning, and the sun was coming up, you know, it was late. Kobe had a game that next day. He had a horrible game. I forget who it might have been the Jazz he played. He just played a bad game. That following Friday, he comes back to the club. Same time, you know, like 1:30. And he sees me, and he's like, hey, you going to stay late again, man? And then, you know, I told him, I was like, nah, you know, I'm like, you played like crap, you know, the day after. And I kind of felt responsible for that, you know?
You were looking out for the team. You were looking out for the team.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, we need you out there, right?
Uh-huh.
And he just gave, you know, that Kobe smile, that big grin, you know, and his eyes get small. He just shook his head like, yeah, you're right. And he's like, wasn't your fault. It was mine. And it was Shaq's for not hitting his free throws. But, and he says something along the lines of something like how refreshing it is to be told no, you know, because no one ever tells him no.
Sure. Everybody would always tell him yes. Jer, I appreciate you sharing that story. All right, squeeze one more call here. And then Andy Bernstein, who's been the NBA photographer, Lakers photographer for over 30 years, who's took some unbelievable photos of Kobe. We'll have him coming up next. Tom in Northridge. Tom, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, buddy. You know, I don't know if I have anything different to share than a lot of people, anything unique other than my own experiences of being a big, huge fan. I'm 46, been a fan all my life since I can remember, and just a lot of things in my life parallel Kobe's. Most importantly, I can connect. I got two daughters, and they my wife was pregnant at the same time that Vanessa was pregnant with his oldest and with Gigi. Mm-hmm. So it's just this whole week, I don't know how to get past this, man. It's like a family member is gone. And I can't stop thinking about it. So I'm sitting here listening to everybody for the last 3 days. And finally, I figured, you know, I'm going to call in because maybe it'll help me, you know, get past this time. I don't know how I'm going to get past, I don't know how I'm going to get through Friday's game, much less, you know, the rest of it, but is trying to, you know.
I appreciate you, Tom. I appreciate you opening up. And I appreciate you calling in. So, look, man, I don't have an answer, you know, and I don't think anybody has an answer. I think everybody grieves a little bit differently, and give yourself time. You know, what else are you supposed to do? It has been a, it's been an incredibly tough few days for everybody. You know, I said this, LA, I feel like the world stopped on Sunday. You know, I feel like LA is wounded. It's the best way I could put it. It's wounded. I mean, my first question to Jim, Jim, how you doing? He said, this hurts. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So let's not sugarcoat it. And for those who, for those that don't try and figure it out, just give it time. And that's all I could say. I guess that'd be my only advice. But I appreciate everybody that calls in. I've been told this by a few people that it feels good to call in and kind of voice your opinion and kind of share some of your thoughts. So we'll continue to do that. I'm back on tomorrow too. Same thing, 6:30 to 9 o'clock. So we'll do this as long as we need to do it. Andy Bernstein coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Andy Bernstein, the official photographer of the NBA and the Los Angeles Lakers. Andy, thank you for taking some time to hop on and reflect a little bit on one of the icons, the legends in the sports world, Kobe Bryant.
Well, thanks, Alan. You know, it's a really difficult time for all of us, but I'm really grateful to you for reaching out and happy to share whatever I can.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you and I have talked before, and of course, under these circumstances, yeah, it's tough on everyone. And I know you've been around the game for so long, over 30 years around the game. Maybe you can just, you know, you could tell us a little bit about your relationship with Kobe, some memories that you have. I'd love to just kind of let you take the floor a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I'm, you know, we've talked so many times, you and I, off air and on air. And a lot of people out there know this, my story of meeting Kobe is this young rookie at 18 years old in 96, and my first picture being his headshot as a Laker. So I literally took his first official picture as a Laker. And then fast forward 20 years, you know, his last picture, Mamba out and walking out of Staples Center forever. And that period of time in between was truly an incredible golden age for me, for my career, to be around this amazing, incredible athlete. But more than that, just watching him mature from really a kid. I mean, you know, he had just turned 18, and here he is in the NBA, and, you know, we watched him just grow in the game and grow as into a manhood and into a champion and a veteran and became a father and a leader, mentor, and a living legend, you know, in the game itself. I mean, we, you know, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that I had to be with him and record and document that that incredible evolution.
It's interesting, Andy, because you know, I know that there have been so many Laker fans. This is kind of the one thing they've referenced over the last, you know, couple of days is you do feel like everybody felt like they knew him, right? You don't have to have met him to feel like this is a family member. And I think that's what everybody feels like today. They feel like they lost a family member. And kind of walk through, you know, some of the work, just the photos, you know, what was that, about a year ago or so, the Kobe Bryant, the Mamba mentality, how I play. All these beautiful, beautiful shots and photos of Kobe Bryant, you know, they take us back. They take us through this journey of his career. It's just, it's special to, you know, get a chance to share what some of those unbelievable moments were. And it's just obviously unfortunate to do it under those circumstances, but it really takes you back to kind of think of all the wonderful memories that we had with Kobe.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think you and I and all our friends, journalists out there, writers, broadcasters, photographers, all of our colleagues. I mean, we're, if we can give the fans and ourselves, each other, some kind of peace through this or some connection to Kobe through our work, I feel like, you know, it's helping me in one way to, I don't even know if I can process this, but just to get through it, but also to know that that the fans want to have that connection and that thread, and my photos, the memories that they inspire, where were you when he scored, you know, the game winner against this team, or, you know, I remember, you know, him and Shaq, and whatever it was, whatever memory it was, this kind of inexplicable grief that we're all going through, at least it gives us a little break from that to just relive the greatness of who Kobe was. And yeah, he was a different kind of dude. He was totally approachable. Mm. I saw him go out of his way to greet fans and remember fans that he had met and take time to sign autographs and do all of the off the court charity work that he did that so many people don't even know about. And then he was able to turn it off at the flip of a switch to be daddy, you know? I mean, you saw it as well as me that he would do this press conference after a game, playoff game or whatever, and then as soon as he saw his girls, that was behind him, and it was daddy time as he walked out of the arena. And I wish I could do that, honestly. I wish I could turn it off as easily as he did. But I knew he needed that, and that helped him sort of just get out of maybe Mamba mode and back into daddy mode.
Andy Bernstein, official photographer of the NBA and the Los Angeles Lakers. Andy has been around Kobe Bryant, you know, throughout his entire career. Andy, what is how should we remember Kobe? How will you, you know, as kind of time passes on, when somebody asks, can you describe Kobe Bryant? How would you describe him?
Well, I would describe him as really honestly, like the Mamba mentality is defined. I mean, he was infinitely curious about everything that involved his craft, you know, which is basketball. But then post-basketball, it was all of his creative projects, coaching Gigi's team and helping to mentor some of the young players in the NBA and WNBA. You know, he was incredibly obsessive about what he did, and that was very inspiring to me because, you know, you have to put it, you have to be all in. You know, Kobe was all in. He never mailed it in. He played hurt if he had to, but he brought the lunch pail to work, you know, every day, be it a practice or a game. And just relentlessness, just be relentless in life. Live life to the fullest. These are all of the messages that he instilled in me, honestly, as I watched him every single day. As we started to put our book together, I really saw his process of how he actually approached life and the game and post basketball as well. And he was a real example to me on how to be a great father. I saw him firsthand. I mean, not saying I heard this or, you know, third hand, but I saw firsthand how much he loved those girls and how he loved being a father. You know, it's one thing to love your kids, which is, I think all of us and everyone listening loves their kids, but loving the fact that you're a parent and that you can be a parent with a partner, you know, and he and Vanessa had a great partnership as parents. But he loved the fact of being a dad, and that was a tremendous message too.
Yeah, that's you know, that's I think the toughest part for everybody else. You know, we got a chance to watch Kobe, and we saw him for 20 years on a basketball court, and we saw him accomplish all these unbelievable things for the city of LA and Laker fans everywhere across the country, across the world, whatever the case is. But you know, this is the one thing that I'll take away the last couple of days. I love the stories of people talking about his family, you know, him and his family, and how much joy that he had in being with his kids and being with his daughters. And that kind of puts things in perspective, that what we watched on a night in, night out basis, it was a game, right? Yes, it meant so much to us and it meant so much to him, but that's not real life. You know, real life was when he did go home and he did have his responsibilities to his family. And I think that's the one thing that those types of stories I enjoy the most so far that I've heard people get into, and obviously you got into right there.
Yeah, for sure. And all our love and energy really needs to go to Vanessa and the girls and the families that are all suffering right now and will continue to suffer. Whatever we can do in our own homes, you know, in our own selves, in our own communities, to keep his legacy of love and hard work and dedication and integrity out there, it's going to help heal in some way, eventually, hopefully, you know, for them to somehow get through this. I don't know how they can or will. I was very encouraged. I just read Vanessa's Instagram post, which I think gives all of us a little glimmer of hope that she, as this strong woman and incredible parent, will get them through it some way, somehow. And, you know, it's such a tremendous shock to all of us. But we have to, you know, get some message here. And I think that's what Kobe was about.
It's surreal, Andy, for us to even be having this conversation. I know I've said this to countless amount of people. It's like, what are we doing right now? Like, how is this happening? You know, why am I walking around LA Live? Why was I at the facility earlier today and seeing these flowers and photos for Kobe Bryant? It's man, it's shocking. Like, honestly, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, for sure. There's really no words to describe it. The outpouring of love and respect.
Unbelievable.
It's just unbelievable.
Beautiful.
Worldwide. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the news, but, you know, soccer players in Europe are paying tribute to him.
Absolutely.
And, people all over the world. I'm getting texts from friends and all over the globe about this, and hoping that I'm okay. And, you know, it's just
that's powerful.
Mind-blowing.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I will say
thank you for letting me be part of what you're trying to do, Alan. And what you're trying to do is a wonderful, noble way of being of service to the community, the huge community that's out there. You don't even have to be a basketball fan, you know, to really feel the pain that we're all going through right now.
Andy, thanks for doing this. I'm sure we'll see you on obviously on Friday. And thanks for kind of sharing some of these stories. I know how intimate all these photos that you've taken over the years has been kind of the part of Kobe Bryant's journey. And for you to hop on and kind of share a little bit of that, I'm sure it means a lot to the listeners.
Well, thanks so much, Alan. And I do look forward to seeing you. Give me a big hug on Friday when I do see you at Staples.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, pal. Take care.
All right, that's Andy Bernstein. When we come back, more of your guys' phone calls. We just got a few more minutes left in the show, and I want to dedicate that to taking as many calls as we can. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Manny in Oxnard, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Manny.
Hey, Alan. Thank you for the chance to, you know, to share my feelings about what happened. My condolences, first of all, to everybody involved in the crash. You know, I just wanted to say, it's like everybody is already saying, you know, we lost somebody that was, you know, even if we didn't know Kobe and Gigi, we felt like we did, right? You know, I remember watching the games with my brothers, and you know, how much closer it brought us together, and I thank Kobe for that. You know, we lost my brother last year. And that's, you know, some of the memories that I have of us spending time together or watching, you know, Kobe and the Lakers. You know, I have a little girl who's 14 years old, and I just can't imagine, you know, something like this happening to our family. And so, you know, it's devastating. And, you know, I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to, you know, to express ourselves and to, and you know, and to share our experiences, you know, the things that made us, you know, happy to have Kobe, you know, around and you know, all the good things he brought to all of us, you know, he was the mentality that he had and, you know, the things that he did off the court, you know, he was barely starting to kind of show us that. And, you know, it's a sad thing, you know, his life was cut way too short. But it was nice to be able to see, the time he spent with his family after basketball and how, when he was asked, I just saw an interview not too long ago that I had never seen before. It was in Spanish. And they asked him, you know, do you miss the you know, playing basketball? And he said, no. He said, because, you know, that chapter's done. And, you know, he had, you know, a lot of other things going for him now. And so, you know, it's just a terrible thing, you know, and, you know, I'm, you know, it makes us thankful for everybody, not just, you know, the players, but just, you know, the announcers, the, you know, the sports show figures like you, like yourself, you know, thank you for, you know, for the things that you guys do, because you guys help us too, to express ourselves. Even though, you know, I never met Kobe. I went to, you know, my first basketball game that I went to was, you know, we saw him, my wife and I, and, we saw, you know, the Lakers. That was my first ever basketball game that I saw. And it was very different, you know, to be able to attend and not be able to hear the announcers, you know, I told my wife, this is so different, you know, going to a game and not being able to hear Chick Hearn, you know, do the play-by-play. And it was so we appreciate everything you guys do.
Of course,
as well.
Manny. No, listen, I appreciate it. And we're coming up to the show coming to a close. So thank you for sharing that. And sorry for the loss of your brother. Lakers Talk is presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win? You need the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case. If you're injured, get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. Thank you to everybody, as always. Appreciate you guys all calling in. Jim Hill, fantastic. Andy Bernstein, fantastic. Thank you to Jesse and to Curtis here in our studios. Carlo as well. All right, so here's real quick, tomorrow, same time, 6:30 to 9, we'll hop on and continue this conversation. Tomorrow morning, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ starting at 6 a.m., so we'll continue to cover this. Download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you guys have a great rest of your night. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.